We're up to Perek Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Zayin. We're up to Pasuk Yud. Techas Ge'ora B'mevin Me'akois Kisil Me'a. Again, Perek Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud. Asham Aleichem. We have a new person today. What's your name?
Henry
Silverman.
Silverman,
welcome. Thank you for coming.
The Henry Silverman.
Okay, the Henry Silverman.
Henry's
okay.
The middle name, and the is the first name.
Okay, Perek Yizayin Pasuk Yud Techas Ger B'Mevin Me'akois Kisil Me'ya. Techas is a very unusual word. Techas, I guess, is similar to the word Tachas. But Tachas, okay, let's see into this right away. Let's see into this Tzion. Techas Inin Pachat. The word Techas means fear. It means pachad v'shever, to be broken, a broken spirit. The brokenness, what?
Al
Techos Yaakov?
In the bar,
Al Tirov Yal Techos. Okay, so same exact word. Pachad v'shever, kmo al tairoitz v'al tachas. Do not be afraid. Two different expressions, do not fear. So what then does it mean in this context? It means we have to read these three words out of order. As if it says, the ge'orah of a maven, a shout, the musr, the words of musr, the shout of a maven, of a wise man, techas, I'm sorry, the way around, gera, a shout, it's not telling us who's giving the shout, the assumption is, the shout is being said by a wise man, by a rebbe, a person's rebbe, or his father, or his instructor. It has the koach to Techas the maven, to cause the maven, a wise person, to humble himself, to change his ways. Even though this, his superior, has not inflicted upon him any harm, has not touched him, it works. Just saying a word of rebuke, one word of rebuke is enough to humble the person. In contrast, mehakois kisil mea, in contrast to hitting a foolish person 100 times. You can beat to a pulp a foolish person, it won't make one bit of a difference. You'll never understand why he's being hit, and it will not cause him to change his ways. So here we're contrasting the maven to the kasil. A kasil, a fool, is helpless. There's nothing you can do for him to have him change his ways, even torturing him. Yeah?
Humility
is a shever. Shever means to break the spirit. When the neshama feels that it is being under attack, it humbles itself. And even though the person has not received any harm has come upon him, nevertheless it is successful. But a ksil, okay, this you can argue that they had in the news recently about the issue of torture. Does torture really work? The release of the CIA reports on torture is debatable. Does torture really help a person do something? And here the pasuk seems to say that not necessarily. Miakoyis ksil may, if you have a foolish person, you can hit him 100 times. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to have any impact upon his life. Well, it's not necessarily torture. There it's for the purpose of revealing information, but here the purpose is for a person to change his way and become a better person. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk yud, mitzvahs tavid techas, ge'aras ha-mochiach. So the end word we have to end in the post that's not obvious is the mochiach, the instructor. The mochiach, when he shouts, he matelis ema, it casts fear. Belev ha-meven in the heart of a wise man. Yoiser, much more mimea, mima, sheyecherat ha-kasil im yuka me'amakos, much more than if a foolish person will be hidden 100 times, he will not make a difference, he will not change his ways. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud, techas gara b'meven. So Rashi says, techas zo ta'amo l'malo b'tov. The accent, the emphasis is on the tov. It's not techas, but it's techas. Ma'ashein kein b'chol ha-mikra, we don't have such a word elsewhere. This is unique. Normally it's tachas. Tachas means in exchange. Tachas, it's not techas, no, it's tseri, it's tachas, and that means in exchange. Ayin tachas ayin. An eye for an eye. An eye in exchange for an eye. The word there in that context has nothing to do with humility, has nothing to do with fear. It means payment, compensation. Compensation.
The related word is the accent is the opposite.
Do not be afraid. So right, al techos, that's what it means. So the reason why there it's because it's not so much that tseri, because the vowels can change based upon the accent. The ikar is the accent. If it would have been techas, then that would have forced us to put the vowels tachas. But now that we're putting the accent under the top, then causes us to change the vowels from tachas to techas, which means ema. Lekachani emesh shehit shem David. This is a noun. Kavkamo chamas. Chitas. Chitas. Same type of word. Chitas means fear or dread. Chitas. V'chein perushoy. Here what it means in this context is hachnoas geora nikeres b'mevin, the humility of a shout that is issued by a mochiach, a person who gives rebuke, is noticeable b'mevin in a wise man. Yosemi mea makos shemakin es haksil, more than 100 makos that one can hit the haksil. Okay, so this is the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Obviously, we can all relate, we can understand that if you speak, you say the right word to a wise person, he'll do tshuva, he will repair his ways. And in contrast to a fool, then no matter what you do with him, nothing is going to make a difference. Now, I saw in Jewish, I don't know if this is really MS, if it's grammatically correct, but if that does not fit into the pasuk, the concept is definitely true. Instead of saying here that the mevin and the kasil are the recipients, they are on the receiving end. The mevin is receiving a shout, and the kasil is being beaten by the mochiach. It's going to be the opposite, that a wise man knows what to say. You could have the same student. You could have an average student in cheder, the same student. If a wise man, a maven, walks into the classroom and he says the right word and gives the right look, that can transform the student's life. But if the Rebbe, the teacher, the administrator, is a fool, he's a kasil, and he comes into the class and he beats up the student, he brings upon him harm, the student will not change. So again, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the maven and the kasil, they are on the receiving end. There is a mochiach, and he's going to rebuke a person. So if the person is a maven, just one word will be enough. If the person is a kasil, certainly words will not help, and even physical harm is not going to help. That's then other approaches. No, we're dealing not with the recipient. We're addressing the maven and the kasil to the noisein, the mochiach. If the mochiach is a maven, he can just say one word, and that will transform his students. If the mochiach is a seal, he doesn't know the first thing about education, doesn't know the first thing what to do. He'll come in with a ruler, with a stick, and beat up his students, and it's even if you hit them 100 times, it's not going to make any bit of a difference. So then it would be, the process would be read, Techas Gara B'Maven. A maven, a Rebbe who is a maven, has the koach to instill fear, Techas, just with a shout. Much better, mehakois ksil meya, better than a Rebbe who's a ksil and comes in and beats up his students with a stick. He'll have no success. We always say that our teacher, we always had certain rebbeim in yeshiva that just their presence instilled fear. Their presence, just their being in the room, everyone all of a sudden was terrified, no one said a word, no one blinked. And then you have teachers that could not control the class. They can't control the class no matter what they do. They're good people, but they can't control the class no matter how, whatever technique. They punish, knosos, fines, and you name it, does not have the koach because their technique is not up to par. Okay, now there is it's a famous Chazal, the Gemara Masech, the Brachos, you all know the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosi, Toiva Mardus Achas, Beliboy Shel Adam Yosi Mikama Malkuyos Shenemar. The read for Esma Avecha, the Amar Elcha V'Yeshuva Al Yishai Rishon Kitul in Yosmeta, the Yeshloka Shamar Yosi Mimea Malkuyos Shenemar Techas Gora B'Mevi Me'akos Silmea. What the Gemara is doing, the Gemara is going one step further. The Gemara is saying that the Gora does not have to come from an outside source. The Ge'orah can come from a person's own Yetzer Toif. A person realizes that his derech in life is not the way it should be, and he gives a kvetch. There's a Ge'orah. There is a shout. The shout hits a person. That would be much preferred and better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu needing to bring upon a person the punishment for Yisurim for his Aver. So we're taking the same idea, we just instead of using the Mochiach to be an outsider, but it means the person's own neshama, and if he doesn't want to shape up with the Musar, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to bring upon him Makos, and then he will be considered, the neshama will be considered to be a Kasil. Okay, let me just make sure I don't forget anything over here. have some other midrashim. Okay, we did that the same piece of Gemara. Okay, let's go to the... Okay, just to point out, the word Techas here in the Sefer Divrei Chachamim, he just points out, we have this Gemara, they use the word, this word Tachas. The word is used in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Tachas Talmud Chacham V'loi Tachas Yosam V'almana. If Rachman Lizton, a person has to be under subject to the rule of a Talmud Chacham or a Yosam V'almana. So the Gemara says, better be. Now, what does that mean? That's exactly the question. What does it mean to be in the Gemara? The Gemara says, Shabbos, Tachas Talmud Chacham, V'loi Tachas Yosam V'almana. So the interpretation means simply that if a person, Rachman Litzlan, caused tsar to another human being, and if he has the theoretical possibility to decide that he should better, who should he cause? It's not good to cause tsar to any person, but it's certainly not a good idea to cause tsar to a Talmud Chacham. Neshichasa neshichas akraf. If you cause tsar to a Talmud Chacham, the punishment is very severe, extremely severe. And likewise, if a person causes tsar to a yosam v'almana, the Torah says many, many places, many times, that almana v'yosam lo sa'anun kim in ta'anet if you'll
so
kim so eshmat sakas. Hashem says, I will soon listen to their cry and there will be retribution. So let's say a person is in a situation where he's going to cause tsar to one of these two categories, talmidei chachamim or yosam v'almana. The two worst things, you can, two worst categories of people you can possibly cause tsar. Which one is worse? So the Gemara says, better cause tsar to the Talmud Chacham and not to the Yosam V'Almana, because the retribution for causing pain to the Yosam V'Almana is greater than the retribution for causing tsar to a Talmud Chacham. The way the Gemara illustrates this concept is Tachas Talmud Chacham V'loi Tachas Yosam V'Almana. So what is the word Tachas? How does it fit into that expression of Chazal? So here in the Sefer Divrei Chacham, he ties into this pasuk, just like over here, when it says Tachas, to be humbled through Musar, just like here means Tachas Ga'ora. What is the pasuk again here, the exact words of the pasuk, where is the Techas Ga'ora B'Maven. Techas means to be subject, but it doesn't just mean fear. Okay, it means shever. It means to be humiliated or to be subject to Musar, to be changed through Musar, better through the Ga'ora, through a shout than through a makah. So that's also how it's been used in that expression Chazal. Tachas Talmud Chacham. Better a person if he has in a situation where one of the two is going to be influenced by, he's going to be subject to retribution for causing them tsar, Tachas, better he be humbled and he be in fear of retribution for what he has done to a Talmud Chacham than fear the retribution that's going to come to him because he has done something wrong to a Yosam the Almana, because the Yosam the Almana, they are the punishment for causing them tsar is much greater. The point he just makes is that that's how the word is used in other places as well, even though there it's also spelled Tachas. In the Gemara, there's no Nekudas in the Gemara. So you can translate, you can say the Gemara, the word is Techas. Techas Talmud Chacham V'loi Techas Yosam V'Almana. Maybe that's really what he means over here in the Divrei Chachamim. Techas, we read the word Techas Talmud Chacham V'loi Techas Yosam V'Almana. But based upon this pasuk, we can perhaps read it Techas Talmud Chacham V'loi Techas Yosam V'Almana. Okay, let's go to... Yeah?
Sounds to me like the person is an owner. The person.
No, it's a theoretical case. It's just a concept, right? It's not a real case. It just means that we want to illustrate that the severity of causing tsar to a yosam on the almana is even greater than the severity of causing tzara to a talmidei chacham. It could be that in time of the Gemara, and even now times, a person appreciates that you don't cause tzara to talmidei chachamim. Talmidei chacham, they're public figures, they're well known, and people realize that that if you cause them tzara, there's going to be retribution. A yos on the almana are vulnerable. No one knows about them. No one's defending them. It's very easy to step on them. So the Gemara wants to emphasize just that when it comes to talmidei chacham who are public figures, and society does not tolerate when you step on a Talmud Chacham, watch out. There are people out there in the world that are Nechba ben Akelim. No one knows about it. And if you cause them tzar, you're even in greater trouble. So, but there, the word tachas is a word which really does sticks like a sore thumb. It doesn't really fit into the context. So here, this pasuk enlightens us. First of all, who says that the way we should vowelize it's tachas? It should be techas. And techas, talmidei chacham v'loy techas, yosam v'almana. And then it comes out the depth of what the chazal means, the fear a person has from a Kodesh Baruch Hu for punishment for causing another human being tzar is much greater with regard to the yosam v'almana who are vulnerable and are humble and are meek, more so than the fear a person has to worry that from a Kodesh Baruch Hu for causing tzar to the Talmud Chacham. Opens up our minds to a new way to read a Gemara, a new word in the Chazal. Yeah.
Which is a better method? Is it out of respect or out of fear? Let me give you an example. Beryl Wine said he had a Rebbe in Chicago who the Talmidim adored. And they didn't want to upset this Rebbe at all. They would never do anything wrong.
Mel Kaplan?
I don't know. He didn't say that. It was a Rebbe that he had. Mel Kaplan was his Rebbe. And they would never want to upset or make him feel bad.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with fear. It was a matter of respect for him. They so ingrained the respect they had for him.
Yeah.
They would never do anything wrong. On the other hand, you have a case of fear. Doesn't mean you respect the person. It could be a person in authority who asks to be, as you said, reputation, not a punishment, who could take out a punishment action against you. So it's not that you respect the individual or you respect perhaps his position, but it's more out of fear than out of respect. So when the person is saying, Tosk, or maybe, and see him says, Pacha, which is the better method? Is it that you want to get the respect of your students and all that? That's the goal? Or is it, I don't care about respect. I'm in charge. I'm the guy here. You better fear me and listen to me because I'm the guy up here and you're the students out there.
It sounds like you're referring to Yiras Chet versus Yiras Haroimimus. There are two types of fear. Respect. So the answer then is, the short answer is respect. Fear you have of a person due out of awe. Respect is a much higher level than fear out of punishment or just practical reasons why you don't want to cause a person tsar. Awe is the ikar. The first part of your dilemma is definitely the stronger, the ideal. That you respect 100%. That's called Yiras Haroimimus. In the Birchas, in the Tefillah on the Rosh Chodesh benching, we misspell for Yiras Shmaim twice. And most of the commentators explain that the one is Yiras Chet, you're afraid of sin, not to be punished. And Yiras Ha'oinish, fear of punishment, retribution. And then this Yiras Haroimimus.
So which one?
Well.
According to Shlomo,
according to Tzitzin,
in Pacha
Shevo.
So which one is it?
Techa, what do you mean? Over here, in this Pasuk Yud? Techa Skar B'Mavin? This is, I guess it's a combination, it's a blend of both. It can be one or the other, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Both are true. The person has to realize that he has to stop doing evil for different reasons. On a lower level, you must stop doing evil because you're going to be punished. You may not understand the reason why it's forbidden. And on a deeper level, you have to have respect. You have to have awe. There's a very deep reason why what you're doing is wrong. So they're both true. You can read both of those fears into the pasuk.
The Chumash says the next pasuk.
Yeah.
Mida keneged mida.
We had that yesterday. Mida keneged mida. Okay, pasuk Yud Aleph. Ach Miri Yevakesh Ra. An evil man, a Ra here in this pasuk. Ra means a Rasha. An evil man is occupied entirely with rebelliousness. Miri means rebelliousness. Yivakeshra, Umalach Achzari, Yeshulachbo, and ultimately he will pay the price. An angel of, a cruel angel, will be sent against him to take his life, to take away, to punish him and to destroy him. Let's see, Pasuk Yud Alef in the Mitzudos David, Ach Miri, Ni, Shekol Devarav Ach Limrois Bahashem, So I translate the pasuk in a different way. What I say is not the other. There are many interpretations. In the article Mishle, I think he has another way. I explained it another. But over here, the Mitzudah says, first interpretation is the Merim is the noun, is the subject. The man who seeks to rebel, his whole essence is to rebel against the society. Yivakeshua, he seeks evil. Me shekol devarav ach limrois b'Hashem, to rebel against Hashem, hu mevakeshua la'atzmo ba'olam hazeh. And then when the pasuk concludes, malach achzor yishulach bo l'doinoi li'acharei moso, he will also suffer. He will suffer. He's seeking evil for himself in the next world, olam hazeh and olam haba. Rashi pasuk yud aleph ach mu yivakeshua kloimar. Me shekol devarav miri v'sar bonus, an individual who all of his words are full of rebellion and refusal, stubbornness and refusal. Hu yivakeh shuatamid, he is an individual who seeks shuatamid. Rash does not follow to the end of the pasuk, but self understood. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk yud beis. Pagoish doiv shakul beish. The Al Kisil Bi'ivalto. Okay, this is serious stuff here. A doiv shakul, doiv is a beer. Now a beer, when it's in a good mood, had what to eat, has a big mishpacha, just came back from making a simcha, and it's in a good mood, is still a pigira. You don't want to meet up on the road with a doiv, a beer. It's not a very pleasant creature to come in contact with. Al achas kamavakam, you don't want to encounter a beer when it's in a bad mood. When is a doiv in a bad mood? When it just lost, no shakul here means it just lost one of its children's cubs. One of its children, or all of its children, were killed. A hunter, or got into a fight with some other animals, and its children were taken from it. The doiv is bereaved. So the doiv is in a very bitter mood. And now when a human being comes in contact with the deer at this moment in time, it's not going to turn out well. Better to come in contact with a bereaved dove than come in contact with a fool, with a human being who's in a chipper mood, who is a shaita, a kseel. Because the kseel can do a lot more damage to you in this world than the dove shakul. The dove shakul has no intelligence, so just stay away. Just destroy it, or just don't bother it, stay away. The foolish person, you don't know to be afraid of, you don't know to be aware of, so you come in contact, you associate with him, you become his friend, you deal with him, and he will destroy you. Rashi's focus is he's going to entice you to do averos. But even without Rashi, al-derech pshat, forget about averos, he'll destroy your business, he'll destroy your relationships. Everything that a fool, you give a fool power, you put a fool in a position of authority, it is the ultimate churban to the world. Okay, let's see over here, Mitzudas Pasuk Gebeis, Pagosh. Pagosh means to meet. Mutav lifkosh beish, a man who is equivalent to a doiv shakul mibonov, a beer that is bereaved from his children, its children. Asher darko laharug asher yifkosh ba'avur mirirus aleh, because such a creature will kill anything in sight due to its bitterness, the bitterness of its situation. The imkol zeh, nevertheless, yoyse toiv liyishe yifkosh hubo, better come in contact with such a bitter person than misheyivkosh boy ish kesil, to talk to a foolish person. Be'eis yidaber ivaltoi lehasis laaveros. So Mitzudas here, Rashi, the same thing is that this fool is going to convince you to do averos. He'll take away olam hazeh ve'olam haba. Rashi pasuk yudbeis pegoish toiv shakul be'ish toiv la'adam sheyivga. Boy doiv mishkol, to meet up with a doiv mishkol, val yifka boy echem min hakasilim hamesitim also, which entice him lasur me Hashem, to turn from Hashem umi toy raso, and from Hashem's Torah. Okay, I know I'm forgetting a lot of things. I don't know why. I know why, but it's not a kasha why. I forget everything, but Okay. Shakul Beish. Okay. All right. Let's just go further. Maybe we'll come back if I remember later on. Okay. Let's go further to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is a very famous pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Good morning. Pasuk Gimel. Meishiv Ratachas Teva Lo Samush Rami Beisam. A person who pays Roha Tachas Teva, you pay back evil for good. This is the worst of the worst. The Tamush Rami Beis, the person will not be spared from the Mibes, so Ra will never depart from such a person. If someone does you a Toiva, and the way you pay him back is by harming him, by stabbing him in the back, that is the worst of the worst, and such a person will never be spared from punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why it's so terrible is because the person doesn't suspect. He doesn't suspect you're going to. And normally in life, you're always on guard. You never know who's going to try to rip you off, to cheat you. But when a person does you a taiva, you trust them. You earn their trust. You give them the keys to your home. You have faith in them. So you're vulnerable. And then when you take advantage of the good trust, the good faith that your friend has in you to cause him harm, this is betrayal in its ugliest form. And such a person is cursed by Shlomo with this very powerful expression, L'samushra mibesom. Mitzudas pasuk yugimel, tachas taiva, b'mokim atoiva shasalo, in the place of the good that he did for you, L'samush, ki lo yimsomi mishlimi mishtadal hatzila mehara. No one's going to come to your aid. When a person's in trouble, he's calling out for help in his difficult situation, no one will show him compassion because he has betrayed everyone. Because they'll know, why should we help this person? This person has a track record that everyone that helps him suffers. Okay, this really, like the expression, no good deed goes unpunished. That's really, what?
Is this an ethical violation?
Halacha violation. That's pasha. It's a sin. Yoyver on loisisnas chibul lavecha. Yoyver on noas devarim. Yoyver on.
But you did an act. No?
He did an act. Loisikim loisidi. Yoyver on many all the various that deal with adam lachavero. Yoyver on when of course davar pasha. But over here it's also it's more than it's a horrible midah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. This is. Okay. Now there is a. Okay, there's a medrash. The medrash elaborates a little bit upon this and talks about in this is in Bereishis Rabba, in kidemcha chavercha ba'adoshim kademcha bebasar. Not only is the pasuk is telling us, not only from this we learn that not only should a person pay back a friend good for good, you have an obligation to pay back a person even more than what he has done for you. The pasuk over here is discussing the extreme. A person does you a toiva, and you have repaid him with harm. From this we learn that the ideal thing to do is when a person does you a toiva, you should pay him back with a double toiva. If he gives you $100, you give him $200. And that's the pasuk, Rabbi Yochanan Pasach. Neshiv ra tachas toiva lo samash rami beis ha'omar Rabbi Yochanan. What do we learn from this pasuk? The musar is, im kidemcha chavercha ba'adoshim, if your friend invites you to his home to eat lentils, which only cost $5, kadmenu, the next time when you have the opportunity, what you should do, you should invite him to come to your home and eat meat, to give him a meal worth $100, bebasar, v'lama, shugama lalecha tchila, because he was kind to you first, therefore, you have an obligation to give him back even more. The parish says, "Atoyvash ve'achilcha bebeiso lochein atetzach ligmol imo yoser mikain v'mein chameshiv lochein hariata meshiv loytoyvash shuhura min hatoyva." And if you don't do what's more, then you're giving him a toyva, which is ra min hatoyva shugam alach. And that's what that means. Amar shim ben marav loysef davar. Yeah.
I think he's changing his page in the positive.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Meshiv ra tachas toyva doesn't mean ra. It's actually tova, but
it's not as good. It's not as good. If it's not equivalent, it's not as good. Okay, there's a famous I think it's with Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He was the prince of Midos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. There's a minhag Yisrael that when someone wishes you, when someone gives you a bracha, you always wish them back more. And if someone says to you a good vach, you say a good yar. If someone says to you have a good day, so you say a good vach. I don't know all the expressions, but that's the minhag is you're always supposed to wish a person a little bit more than what they wish you. So it was a Maishachaya when it was the week before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah fell out on Tuesday. And a person leaving Shul Mitzvah Shabbos, and someone said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, a good vach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach said back to him, a good yar. And then he remembered, after he went home, that the year ends only 2 days later. So the person gave him a bracha more than what Rav Shlomo Zalman gave him. Rav Shlomo Zalman, he gave him a bracha, a good week. A good week is 7 days. And here Rav Shlomo Zalman is giving him a bracha, have a good year. And the year expires in 3 days. So he gave a bracha, okay, and Echanani, but the interpretation was, so he felt that he violated this pasuk. He gave him Roha tachas toiva. He gave him a bracha. But being that my bracha was not at least equal or not better than the bracha you gave me, this is meshiv. I'm replying to you. Roha, something that is evil, tachas the toiva. So he exerted himself to an extreme degree to find this person and to wish him a good, I don't know what he wished him, but to wish him something more to make up. You should not have said this thing a good yar. It's a very interesting. Interesting idea. Good Tamid. I don't know what that is. Okay. Okay, the Gemara, there's a Midrash which just illustrated the people that the subject of this pasuk who have really hit hard HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFloga. The Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFloga were the two generations of the existence of the creation that had everything man can possibly want. They had every blessing. No one had to work. Noah invented the plow. You can harvest in the earth. The earth was pure and clean. There was no pollution and everyone had parnasa. And yet what do people choose to do with their time? They chose to rebel against Hashem. Ki hishchis kol basar darkai, and the time of the Mabul, they all got together to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about these two generations, you bunch of people, you are meshiv roha tachas toiva. I gave you a beautiful world, and look what you have done with it. You have used it to rebel against me, and therefore you're finished. L'samush rami beso, evil will not leave your home, you'll all turn into a bunch of monkeys. Monkeys, and they will destroy the people of Dor HaFloga. They said they would turn into monkeys. That's what it says, one of the Midrashim. And not like Darwin believes that monkeys, that human beings came from monkeys. It's true there are similarities, but it's the other way around, that human beings turned into monkeys.
It started at a later point.
Okay.
Rabbi, if everything is going well and everything is perfect,
yeah,
then you don't see a need for Hashem. You don't see a need for Hashem.
That's the problem. That is the problem. We always live out. Rav Herschel Schachter once said on a table, he said, on Yom HaKippurim, on Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, it says that in a good year, they took the wool, they put a piece of wool on the Soril HaZazil, and they tied another piece of white wool on the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was crimson, red wool, and they looked to see if it turned white. So he said, whatever happened, it was no good. If it didn't turn white, if the wool remained red, oh, everyone had a heart attack. Oh, it's red. Hashem did not forgive our sins. Who knows what's going to happen? The world's going to come to an end tomorrow. If it did turn white, complacency. Ah, it turned white. We're forgiven. Tomorrow we party. Tomorrow we can do whatever we want. We can do all the averus we want because we're forgiven. Complacency. So whatever happened was no good. This is the struggle of our existence. The struggle is somehow to realize to behave ourselves and not to go off more than we should. Okay. Now, by the way, this is spooky chazal. You're not going to like this. The Balaturim says, what is it over here in this pasuk? Lo somo shura mi beso. Okay, what's the ultimate punishment? Me shura tachas toiva. And it really ties into the Medrash, which I have to read to you in a moment. The Balaturim, ain't talking about Balaturim, he's talking about Rashi Tevos, he's talking about Gematrius. He says, lo somo shura is oisiois isha. The end letters. Lo, the last letter of each of these three words, the curse. Lo is Aleph, Samush is Shin, Ra'ah is Hey, Isha. Lo Samush Ra, that a person is Mishalim Ra'ah Tachas Toiva, he's gonna suffer from an evil wife. his wife is going to turn on him. What he's alluding to is the Medrash, the one who really was Mishalim Ratachas Toiva, the first person was Adam Harishain. Adam Harishain was given the best thing in the world, a wife, Chava. And what did he do to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Koifer toif, koifer b'toif, and he says, "Ha'isha, asher nasatli, he nasnali mino eitz v'ochal." The wife that you gave me, she gave me from eitz hadas. That was what?
Yeah, but the Baal Turim says that she nasnali mino eitz means she beat me with a stick.
Okay, but he blamed her. He blamed her, and this Chazal are extremely critical of Adam Harishon being a person who is meshiv raw tachas toiva. Hashem gave him the ultimate bracha, and he turned that bracha against HaKadosh Baruch Hu by blaming everything in this world upon his wife. Therefore, the Baal HaTurim says, "Nimela mida k'neged mida." The person is mida min koifer kafu toiva le'sam mushra. Meaning, watch out from your wife. Your wife's going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to plant in the mind of your wife to rebel against you, and it's not going to be pleasant. It'll be ra mitoich beisai. That's, I think, the reason why he says the reason lo yusam ushra, because mi beiso. The word mi beiso in Chazal is always a code for your wife. So Simu Baal Tov is taking all of these things together. The famous Chazal Kafi Toiva, Adam and Chava, lo yusam ushra is Rosh Hashanah isha, mi beiso is isha. All of these things come together to warn us that the ultimate blessing a person as his wife, and he has to reciprocate and mishalim toiva tachas toiva. And I'll leave you with a famous story from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer once had a balabas that caused him a lot of tzaras, made a lot of problems for the Rav. And the Chassam Sofer once commented to one of his balabatim, "Why does this person always looking to destroy me? I don't remember that I ever did anything good for him. I didn't do him a toiva. What taiva? I understand all the other balabatim. I've done them taivas. I got them shaduchim, parnasa, I'm spal for them. No, so they don't like it. They feel indebted to me, beholden to me. Some male of this resentment, so they hate me. But this balabas, what did I do for him? Why does he hate me? Meshalim ro tachas taiva, meshiv ro tachas taiva, l'sam rami besa. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Famous pasuk gedal poite mayim reishis madoin. A person who opens up water. Well, really, you have to read the words backwards. Reishis Madoin Poiter Mayim. That would make it a lot easier to translate words. A person who opens up a machlokes. You go over to your friend and you say something nasty. Or you make mention of an event that took place in the past and you start a machlokes. You are in a lot of trouble. What you have really done is you've made a hole, you've drilled a hole in a dam. When you drill a hole in a dam, it's not easy to close the hole. The hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the pressure of the water is so enormous, there's almost no way you can close up the hole. How are you going to close? Remember a couple of years ago when there was a hole in the ground in BP? They made a hole in the Gulf of Mexico? The Gulf of Mexico, the whole world was going crazy. The oil was coming out. Right? That was mamish. Poiter mayim. That was mamish what it means here in this pasuk. You opened up a little hole of water. Okay, here means a dam. There it was oil. But it's the same idea. And the world was going with sugar. What could we possibly do to close up this little hole? Once the hole is open, it gets bigger and bigger, and it's extremely difficult to seal a hole. A person that opens up, says a nasty comment to his friend, and opens up machlokes, it's equivalent to doing the same thing as poitimayim. There's no return. You reach a point of beyond return. You can't go back and repair the damage and seal the hole. That's the racious modernist part of Mayim. And then there's a second concept in this passage, Lufnei Hiskala Hariv Nitosh. Okay, simply this means that before the quarrel is revealed, Nitosh, abandon the quarrel. Even though you have ammunition, you have arguments to make a big machlokes, if the argument has not yet entered into the arena of debate, Nitosh, you would be wise to abandon the quarrel. It's just not worth it. It's not worth getting involved in a nasty machlekes with the Dinei Torah and Lashon Hara and people talking in the gossip in the street. Just Nitosh, abandon it before Hiskala, before the machlekes becomes public knowledge. Because once the machlekes becomes public knowledge and people are talking about this in the street and it circulates, there's a point of that's beyond return. The damage cannot be done. This is the simple meaning of this pasuk. Chazal have added many midrashim, many lamar chazal. Let's first see the psukim to this pasuk. Gedalit poiter mayim techilas hameriva. The mitzvah says read the words backwards. The beginning of the dispute of strife he is equivalent to the action of kiposeachur begeder amasamayim. Drilling a teeny little hole in a fence, in a dam, a wall that holds back water. The water trickles through this little hole. And ultimately the hole gets bigger and bigger. Because that's what happens when there's machlekes. When the shaholech v'godel, machlekes just gets bigger and bigger and bigger to a point beyond return. Escalates to a point beyond return. Before the machlekes becomes public knowledge. You will be very wise to abandon. Don't make a fuss. Don't make a big deal of every little thing. You'll find people that are
instigating
and adding fuel to the fire. It's not going to go away quickly. It's going to go on for a very long time. Rashi pasuk yud, pasuk yudalid. A person that begins to quarrel, you're opening up a hole in the stream in the walls that hold back a stream of water. So here Rashi adds in some very powerful words. Rashi says the riv will lead to your disgrace. When you enter into a quarrel, don't worry, they're going to hang up your dirty laundry also. You think that by opening up your mouth and publishing something in the paper or public to disgrace someone else, you're going to get away with it. The same way you hang up their dirty laundry, they're going to hang up your dirty laundry. And therefore, be wise. Nitosh, it's just not worth it. Even money, you can have Dinei Torah even over hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you can ask the litigants years later, was it really worth it? Was it really worth the money, the whole machlekes, the whole dispute? And the answer is usually no, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth even big money. Sometimes machlekes is not worth it. Sometimes you make a pshara and you lose half the money, even though if you really go to Beis Din, you really go to court, you really can win. It's just not worth it. All the agmas nefesh and the machlekes forever and ever. It's just that the mantra says in the pasuk nitosh, be wise, abandon the machlekes lufnei hiskla before it is revealed. Okay, now what do we all know this pasuk for? Everyone knows this pasuk. What?
Divorce cases are the worst when that happens.
Divorce cases are the worst because they invest the most love, more since there's the greatest expectation in marriage, and when those expectations are shattered, so bitterness is unimaginable.
The lawyers get all the money, and the kids wind up not having school tuition.
Yep. Okay. So now, what do we know this pasuk yidal for? This pasuk is on the tip of our tongues. What is mayim? Hay kol tzamei luchu lemayim. Mayim is always a metaphor for Torah. And what does this pasuk tell us, Chazal? That when a person comes to Shemayim, and there's a din Torah in Shemayim, they judge him, they review his life. The Beis Din Shemayla, they analyze the person, what he has accomplished in his life. The Fereshis Madoin, the first question the Beis Din Shemayla will ask the person's neshama is, Poiter Mayim, or did you exempt yourself from the study of Torah? Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. We will judge you for your lack of Torah knowledge, for your or this that you've loosened from upon yourself the yoke of Torah, this that you have not supported Torah, you have not fulfilled what it says in the Torah. But these, the gracious modern of a person is for being poit der mayim. I'll read the words of the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dina Shel Adam Ela Al Divrei Torah. The beginning of a dinta is Divrei Torah Shenemar. poiter mayim reishes madoin. The beginning of the din Torah is mayim star. Here in the footnote in this sefer called Divrei Chachamim, he explains the interpreting on a deeper level that when a person does an avera, forget about where a person does something that is commits a crime, and in Shemaim they judge him. When they judge an event in a person's life, they first analyze where the person, his background, his degree of Torah knowledge. Every person is judged differently. Every person has a different appreciation for a mitzvah based upon his education. So even in the modon, meaning in a din unrelated to learning Torah, relating to business, person did an avera, he's only judged relative to his yediyos, his yirashamayim, his understanding of the mitzvah itself. So the reishis modon all depends on poiter mayim, how it's interpreted loosely here, it's mean how much of a Talmud Chacham is, how much knowledge he has in this matter, that's what he is held accountable for. If he should have known better, then he's held responsible. If it's not his fault, he's a tinik shenishba, he does not have the kashroinos to understand the depth of this mitzvah, and that's why he did not do the mitzvah, he's not accountable. It all depends upon the person's degree of mayim, that's what he'll be judged for everything else. Okay, now lefnei hiskalah hariv nitosh, this is another halach, this is a very famous gemara, this is a very yisoidistic machlokes in the gemara. The gemara is machlokes, now again, this is not relevant to today's times. And we have Shmelka Pinter, he was here 2 weeks ago, he spoke about this idea of the way Bate Dinim work Bizman Hazeh. When you come to a court, the Dayanim have the power to make Shara, and they encourage the two parties to make peace, to find some resolution. And that's because that today, in our day and age, Dayanim are not, we do not know how to paskin. There is no one today alive that can say they will paskin the halacha yikoyf hadin es sahar. The halacha should penetrate the mountain. It's the expression which means we are going to paskin the halacha based upon what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If two people come to court and they have a dispute, there's a complicated issue at hand, there's a business and it went turned sour, or there's machlokes between partners and they come to a din Torah, each one of the two partners, in fact, they're in a din Torah, it's usually each one has a good argument. And to know exactly what the halacha is impossible. Because the chosha mishpat is a bar amok. It is extremely deep, and there's no one today that's on a level of Torah Talmud Chacham, even the biggest Talmud Chacham on a level, that you can pass in a halacha, mamish what it says in Shulchan Aruch with the ultimate clarity. Therefore, in today's batei dinim, complicated cases, generally, you follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the best. So you have a case that they see the situation at hand, and it appears that Reuven is right. So it appears 80%, 100%. But you know, Shimon has a good argument, maybe it's nonsense, maybe it's not nonsense, so they will try to make compromise. Compromise does not mean 50-50. It means you appear to be right, it'll be 80-20, 90-10, 95-5. Sometimes it'll be 50-50, because no one today, Bizman Hazeh, is a Baki Mufluk where you can go 100% zero, unless it's mamish so clear-cut. But in the time of the Gemara, they were. Okay, so that's why this Chamayim Chazal is a little bit confusing to a listener, because we don't really have this scenario of Bizman Hazeh. But in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Tanaim and the Marayim, there were Talmidei Chachamim that can do what it says in Chazal, Yaakov Hadin Esahar. The halacha can bore right through the mountain. You need to get to the other side of the mountain, you don't have to go on top of the mountain. You go right through the mountain, which means we're going to pass in exactly what it says in Shulchan Aruch. However, even though we can do so, the Dayanim in front of us, they are on that level, they can paskin. What's going to happen when the Dayanim do so? The loser is going to be very bitter. Reuven and Shimon, they come to a case, a din Torah, we're dealing with $1 million, and Dayanim have the ability to paskin is right, and Dayanim, they could very well be, when they'll paskin halacha, they'll give Reuven $1 million, and Shimon will go on food stamps. Shimon's going to be broke. So, but the other end, they have an option. Maybe we shouldn't really do this. We should make peace. Gadol Hashalom, peace is very great, so we should convince Reuven, even though you're right, you may be right, no, be a nice guy. Give Shimon, give him 20%. Make him happy. Give him $200,000, he'll be good, he'll be set for life. He'll be very happy. Is that a proper thing to do? But on the other hand, it's not right. The Torah says it's Gezel. You know, it's a shiloh of Gezel. If Reuven deserves $1 million and Shimon deserves nothing, so what? You're going to make Pshara, you're going to convince Reuven to give away $200,000? Is that a dayan? Is that the proper Lodayan? Is that the right thing to do? So believe it or not, it's machlokes tanoim. It's machlokes amaroim if taka you should do this. The Gemara there, I'll tell you the opinions. This is the Gemara. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin. Where else? On Davav, and the Gemara there presents three opinions. The three opinions are: the first is according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Shlomo Yosef Aglili, Osur Livitzaya. It's forbidden. If two litigants walk into court, and one says, and they're fighting over $1 million. The Dayanim are not allowed to recommend, listen, I know, I don't even want to hear the case. Before we hear the case, I know there's an ugly fight here. You know, you're two good friends, you can manipulate, you can say you really want to have machlokes. Why don't you just split it? Why are you calling, why should we even listen to the Din Torah? Split it, 50-50, Shalom Al Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's a chil Hashem for a dayan to say such a thing. If two litigants come to court over $1 million, osur livtsaya, sit down, Torah is Torah, de'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, let me hear your argument, you want to bring a lawyer, you can bring a lawyer, we can talk about it, we'll decide, we'll go in behind closed doors, we'll come out with a psak, there's going to be a winner and a loser. Osur livtsaya. Along comes the shita of why, Pasuk says, his words are, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, no such thing. The Dayanim, before they even listen, mitzvah livtsaya. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You're fighting over money. Why don't you just split it? And it's a pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah says, emes u'mishpat, shalom shaftu emes u'mishpat. There is MS and there is Mishpat, but Shalom, but it is peace that is Shoftu Bisharechem that will rule in your gates. Shoftu Bisharechem. A tremendous Chiddush. I don't want to hear the case. We're going to have Pshara. Then we come along with Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, and he says a third opinion, which is based upon this Pasuk initially in Perek Yud Zayin, and he says, Pshar, he says, if the Dayanim already heard the case, they read about it in the newspaper, they know what's going on, they heard about it, they know the issues. They know the issues. So if they know the issues, the Dayanim already know, Lehechon ha-dvar of Noitim. So the average person doesn't know every tzois and nesivos. So you hear shalom of $1 million, you don't know who's right, who's wrong. But Talmidei Chachamim, who learn, who know the sugyas and shas on their fingertips, and they open up the newspaper, and they hear Reuven and Shimon are fighting over $1 million, so they sit in koilo. They basically have a feel who's right, who's wrong, according to Das Torah, according to. So then, I agree with the first opinion, Osir Livtsoya. Since already I know that there's a machlokes and there's a halacha that says a shulchanach what to do, and you're coming to ask me the shayla, I'm not allowed to say to you, peace on to you, let's make pshara. That's a zilzul, that's a disgrace to the judicial system of Klal Yisrael. You have to go, Yaakov din Esahar. But if the two people come to the Bezdin in another country, they have no clue what's going on. They have not even, that's not entered their ears. What the issues are, all they know is there are two people that are fighting over money. Then I agree with the second opinion, based upon the pasuk in Zechariah, Hashalom b'sharechem. You know what? Before we hear what your arguments are, I don't know from nothing. I've never heard this before. You're fighting over money. Why do you want to go have a Din Torah? Just split it. Shalom al Yisrael.
Are they allowed to be a dayan if they have information before the situation?
Yes, why not? They can read in the papers, why not? And then, as long as they're not no gea bedover, as long as they're not a relative to one of the parties, they have nothing to gain. They're not going to be nice, they have nothing to gain. They don't have investments, stocks in these companies. So they know the issue. So
mediation before the judgment is mediation?
It depends. It depends on the case. In some cases, there is mediation. There's no mediation. Every case is different. But in just general terms, it's very complicated. Dini Torah, extremely complicated. The more money, just like in Jewish court, the more the second law, just like the bigger cases that go on for years and years, they know that the bubble was big, but they didn't want it for years. The halacha.
Yeah, and only
what?
The Dayanim made money on that.
Lubavitch? Lubavitch, they're in
money. It's an argument.
I have control. But Babov was an argument, I think, over money. It was more argument over money in Babov. And they didn't go to secular court. They kept it in the Bezdin. And they accepted the psak. That's what I heard. What? I'll never go on. Okay, so what's the makar? This is a very powerful chazal. Rabbi Shimon Menasi Mechalik Beinim Adayanim Kvar Yoidim Leichon Adim Leit Nad, and he says over here, it's this pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Here is this pasuk. The pasuk says, V'lifnei, the end of the pasuk, V'lifnei Hiskala Hariv Nitosh. Before the Riv is revealed, he interprets the pasuk to mean before the Dayanim, it is revealed to the ears of the Dayanim, the issues of the Riv, Nitosh. The Dayanim have the right, the discretion to say, let's abandon the din, and you should make peace between you, and you split the money down the middle 50-50. What? That's a drush from our generation. See, that's why this more so, because today Bizman HaZed is, the whole thing doesn't even begin. Today the whole thing b'chlal is b'derech chlal, shara, whatever that means, mediation, whatever, dispute resolution, whatever it is. But again, doesn't mean 50. People get very worked up. What do you mean? Pshara, 50-50, I'm right, he's wrong. Doesn't mean, it means 90-10. That's all it means. Doesn't mean 100%.
That's what negotiations all about.
Exactly. So today it's all negotiation. That's why even some of the, they don't even have rabbanim there. So they have some, it's on batidinim. There's a one dayan. And they have people who are just knowledgeable in business, because it's not really, many times it's not really a din Torah. It's more of dispute resolution with a Jewish flavor. With a Jewish flavor, listen, it says a Shulchan Aruch, Hazoya, the government don't do this. This is what you, so you have to have a little Jewish flavor, because today we don't have real Dine Torah today in Chosh Mishpat, but going now, so this is something which is a very powerful time of the Gemara. Time of the Gemara there was. There's Yokoiv Hadin Esahar. And according to the first Tana, it's a chilul Hashem. It's bizyonis to say that the Klal Yisrael, you come to a court of stone, it's nice as stone. You come to a dayan and you tell the dayan of machlekes, and he says, okay, you split it. That's not the derech haTorah. That's the first opinion. Second says, no, adarabah, we're better than the goyim. There should be peace. There should be shalom. You should have some type of a pshara. It's a very tough balance. How do you draw the line? Along comes the third opinion. He based upon this pasuk, it's lifnei hiskala hariv. If the riv has not yet been revealed, the dayanim do not yet know what the issues are. Nitosh, abandon. Tell the people, make peace. Split the money. Whoever's right, whoever's wrong should be moichel. Make peace. That's important. But if it's already hiskala, the whole world is talking about this. It's in the newspapers. Everyone knows what the issues are. The whole world knows. He has a ktsois on his side, and he has a nesivus on his side. Everyone knows what the issues are. Then you cannot say nitosh. Then the dayanim have to sit. Yikoyf hadin esahar, it should not be a chil Hashem. Eile hamishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. Powerful stuff. Feirush Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, three mahalchim in Dinei Torah. What? Well, I told you, it's not a gelach l'maisa. It's not a gelach l'maisa. Bizman hazeh, because bizman hazeh, there's no such thing as din. That's pasha. That's the first halacha. That's the first halacha in Choshen Mishpat.
They encourage automatic settlement.
They engage. Yeah, that's yeah, yeah. That's what they do. It's dispute resolution. Karav l'din. Karav because there's no. I mean, there's no perfect solution.
Every all the proportions say exactly the same thing this time. Nobody disagrees. In other words, what you said is what everybody here says.
Because Bisman has said that's. But in the time of the Gemara, there was something called din.
What was their power?
He ruled in favor of someone, and the other person was
supporting him. At his own pocket, he would help them out.
The person could still survive.
Survive. Okay, that was Shlomo HaMelech. That's not fair. Not for your average Dayan. Yeah.
But what about fast?
Well, today's Dayan
talking all about halacha, but sometimes these cases turn on whose version of.
Well, usually when you have a case when there's hard facts, it doesn't even end up in court because the facts are facts. You call the police. The police, you know, this is suddenly have a squatter in your house. You can go to court.
That's go to court to get somebody out of
it. Well, no, that's if he was renting. If you gave him a show, so then already you're getting involved with laws.
No.
But someone has to take over. Normally there's a problem. You call the police. You don't have to go to court. I mean, this is normally when you have a dispute. Usually there's an argument. Someone already has a taina. There's a pesach. Why I should be right, and you need a judge to decide. Okay, so again, it's a theoretical concept. Today we don't have yikov din stuff, but when we did have it, then we put these things together. It's a very, very beautiful chazal. What? Okay, when there are facts, okay, nachnami, that's what court is about. It's obviously a very unpleasant. You ever used to watch People's Court? When I was a kid, I haven't seen this in years. Now they have Judge Judy that's still on that thing.
Yeah.
I was once in a doctor's office. I was waiting there. It was fascinating. I was watching Judge Judy. It was gewaltig. It was geschmack. And now the interviewing people in the audience, what do you think? What do you think? And she has such chutzpah. She talks to them with such chutzpah. So, obviously, this, I don't think this is right. This is television. This is not, it's real, right? It's a real case, but it's built up. It's pumped up a little bit. What? Okay. So this is the Poiter Maim Reishis Madain. Okay, this is a very, very powerful Yisrael. Okay, so we will leave it with this over here. We'll stop here. Pasuk Tes Vav.